Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast, folks. I'm your host, Tom Lacovara-Stewart, joined by Mr. Bruce Ray Riggs. Mike, if you would prepare that clip that I sent you over about the Hammonds, I wanted to share that for just a minute with the public there. You hear the screams and cheers in the background. It's just such a positive thing. Let me know when you have that ready. Folks, the Hammonds have been set free, and the jurisdiction, a lot of the things that we discuss on this show, all these federal agencies and the jurisdiction that they're acting under, it all operates on this unlawful jurisdiction. Anyway, here's the report from KOIN on the Hammonds, and you'll hear what is joyous to me to hear, which are the cheers and screams of the local community. Go ahead and roll the clip.
Kearney County cattle ranchers who were in the middle of prison sentences for setting fire to federal lands are now free men.
Dwight and Stephen Hammond received full pardons yesterday from President Trump. Today, they returned home to a group of supporters. Eileen Park was there.
It's been a while since this small airport in Burns saw all of this traffic. One by one, supporters drove in with their trucks and their flags. A highly anticipated homecoming, quickly but carefully executed. Here, Mrs. Hammond catching the first glimpse of the plane that would bring her husband and son home. And finally, shortly before 11, they arrived. Dwight Hammond embraces his wife, then his son Lyle, Stephen Hammond not far behind, hugging his mother.
Thank you to all of you. You're wonderful human beings.
Amen. You can cut it there. You guys get the idea. Yes, we're pretty happy here. I kind of feel vindicated. Going to Oregon was the right thing to do, to stand for people like that that should have never been put in prison based on this crazy jurisdiction that we're talking about tonight. So, Bruce, can you explain to people who may not be familiar how the 14th Amendment empowers all of these federal agencies?
Well, the easiest way to put it is, if you're a citizen of Russia, England, Australia, any other country, you have rights and privileges according to your citizen or citizenship. Now, the Constitution created a citizen at Article 4, Section 2, and I just posted it on your chat room, and that was a non-corporate citizen. I got a Texas case with that. Now, the 14th Amendment is an artificial person, and according to the Supreme Court, is a corporation. So you have a non-corporate state citizen and a corporate federal citizen. Now, here's something that's just going to knock you off your rocker, so if you have one, you might want to sit down in it. The United States is, and always has been, since the first elected president, George Washington, a corporation. Corporations only have presidents, folks. Countries have kings, they have parliaments, and they have governors. Your states, according to Articles of Confederation, with sovereign state nation governments. And the articles that created by the Articles of Confederation. And this can really be found. All you got to do is Google Thomas Jefferson and James Madison's Kentucky, Virginia Resolution of 1798, ratified by the Fifth Congress, First Session, 1789. Yep. So it's law. Says exactly what I'm saying. Our Articles of Confederation created sovereign state nation governments, and several years later, states got together and formed a compact known as the Constitution, which created a federal government with only 17 jurisdictions until they stole the state citizens. And now the states don't have their own citizens anymore. They're all citizens of the federal government. So now the federal government has the leash, has the hook through the nose like the ox, the ring. The 17 jurisdictions the federal government was given is outlined in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 through 17. And James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, ratified by the Fifth Congress, went on to say that if the federal government exceeds those 17, the powers outlined in those 17 jurisdictions, or assumes one it wasn't given, by creating a different form of government, 14th Amendment and all of that, something like that, you know, it's not only the duty, the right, but the obligations of the states to arrest that federal authority immediately. This is federal law since 1789. Supreme law of the land, because it was ratified pursuant to the federal constitution, found in Article 6, paragraph 2. And just like I told when we used to broadcast from the Bundy Ranch, and just like when we broadcasted an organ about the Hammonds from the park or wherever it was, the national park, I said, this is the state's fault. It's not just the Bureau of Land Management. It's the state's fault. Because if the Nevada would have done its job, Mr. Bundy would not have been in that position, in that predicament. And if Oregon would have done their job, Mr. Hammond would not have been in his position and had to go to jail and those folks.
That's exactly what Cliven Bundy was saying all along. If the states would have just done their job, then we wouldn't be here.
But you see, the problem is, here's the difference, Tom. Here's the difference. In 1789, when James Madison and Thomas Jefferson's Kentucky-Virginia Resolution was ratified, the states had their citizens. What if Russia didn't have any citizens? What if England didn't have any of their own citizens? You see what I mean? You're starting to get what I'm saying, how the states lost their sovereignty because they lost their non-corporate citizens. So now you're dealing with, pardon the phrase, castrated states. Now, these castrated states don't have the same validity that, as the old ones had, because they don't have citizens. The Articles of Confederation, the founding fathers of the Constitution, didn't create things the way they are today.
No.
States are supposed to have their own citizens. They're supposed to be a non-corporate citizen. So now they can't do what they're supposed to do according to the Fifth Congress and James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, because they've been neutered. They lost their citizens. They lost their power.
And they could get it back.
Well, there's a few ways. I mean, all they got to do is sign a treaty of peace, and it's done. All you people out there listening, I probably got somebody in every district of this entire country. All you folks have got to do is get a few of your good old boy cliques together and approach your local representatives with this. Your U.S. congressmen, your U.S. Senators, and tell them, look, we want this treaty signed. Good heavens, why was this not signed 160 years ago? Well, let's just sign it. It doesn't say it has to be a certain way. It just says the states have to sign a treaty of peace and ultimately to settle this power. What's demanded of them? No one's ever done that. These folks don't even know. No, we can keep the bullets and guns. They're great to have as a nice insurance policy. But done right, they're not even needed. You got folks out there wanting your votes. They want your contributions. They want to get elected. They want to, enough American people went to each of the representatives and said, look, we want this treaty of peace signed. We want one signed. We want this thing ended. This entire Reconstruction jurisdiction, which has got for the past 160 years, all the laws, taxes, and debt attached to it, would be dissolved. Gone. It's like a nasty blood clot, and you took some aspirin and it went away. The aspirin here is a treaty of peace, folks. It's simple. Like I said, I've never left the seventh grade level. This is not hard to understand. A simple treaty of peace. Look at one war. Any war this country has had, and show me where a treaty of peace has not been signed with the exception of the Civil War. Yeah, these declared wars. Yeah, such as Vietnam or some mess like that. But yeah, those are a lot of police actions or some crap. But I mean wars. Mexican-American War of 1849. Any of them. French War. All of them had treaties of peace, whatever we want to call it. Except for the Civil War. 600,000 dead, over a million wounded.
Yeah.
We need
people taken right off the boat and conscripted into service into the army.
what kind of a wasted energy we have with all the pro-Second Amendment groups. God bless them. And meanwhile, I love guns. I'm not taking an anti-gun position here, folks.
No.
They're spinning their wheels. The problem's right here. Treaty of Peace. You get the state gets back to its citizens. There's no jurisdiction for any of that anymore. It's all done through the 14th Amendment, like I've already pointed out. And all these other unconstitutional laws, the ones that kept the Hammonds and the Bundys in jail, that jurisdiction, they would be gone.
People wonder why the 10th Amendment isn't respected as much as it is. Well, here's the problem right there. You realize that everything would fall back to the 10th Amendment. Things would be free if this solution was met. I mean, it's really...
How hard is it to draw a treaty? For God's sake, how hard is it to get 50 states to sign a treaty?
Well, this is one of the reasons why we wanted to get you down there to that Operation American Spring. But, you know, such resistance was put up. Oh, we can't share constitutional historical research information. It might cause too much division. Well, that's just great. Well, you go ahead and wave your flag.
The Constitution calls us one people. The Constitution refers to us as one people. So if this is something done with the Constitution, then they must redefine one people as something different, because one people in my book means us. It means some lady that might be listening to us in Ohio. It means some man that might be listening to us in Arizona. Some child that might be listening to us in Virginia. We're one people. We're in the same boat. We've got a simple solution in our face. It's a lawful one. For 160 years, it's been neglected. It's been buried. It hasn't been taught in school. God forbid if they spent one generation teaching the kids, hey, we never signed a treaty of peace. And somebody would get it done.
Yeah.
They've never done it. That's all we've got to do to bring back the original government. It just had the 50 states. And there's enough of you out there right now to start raising heck with their local representatives, your federal representatives, and your state representatives. Have them get on the federal government. You want this treaty signed. And it's done.
God,
how simple
of a solution, eh?
I mean, really, does it have to be harder to get people to get off their chairs? Okay, well, add some kick to it. I mean, give away free flags or something while you're at it. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing hard about this. It's a simple treaty. 160 years neglected that fixes this. It's easier to sign a treaty than it is for 50 states to sign a treaty than it would be for me and you to rebuild a 350 Chevy engine, Tom. easier to end a 160-year war for the 50 states to sign this treaty than it would be for me and you to rebuild an engine, Tom.
Yeah, well, there's been a couple generations of melting the minds of the youth. I hope that they don't stand in the way of this, because really,
I think,
folks,
they melted the butts of the youth to the chair, because they need to get off that butt to fix this, and they're not doing it. And we keep rehashing it in more simpler forms. They have to get it. I'm staying at a seventh grade level at the highest here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not hard, and it was, you know, the Constitution was kind of written that way so that the common man would be able to comprehend and apply it. And it blows my mind how you can have these people that they come up with all these creative arguments. Just as an example for one, the Second Amendment.
Let me interrupt you real quick, Tom. Once again, they could have signed this treaty of peace and finished all of this mess like flushing a toilet bowl and getting everything gone. Then they could have with their little argument they created. Now go ahead.
Yeah, no, and the arguments, but just to show the ignorance of the people, you know, you have people arguing that, that the founders couldn't foresee the advancement in arms and all of these other pieces of nonsense. They could completely detract from the entire purpose of the Second Amendment, which is to prevent
tyranny. Yeah, but here's the problem. Here's where you come back. Tom, let me interrupt you again. Here's where you come back.
Yeah.
The Founding Fathers did foresee the advancement of power of a central federal government. That's why they did away with it.
Yep.
And gave the power to the people instead, and gave us the power to overthrow the son of a gun if it acts a fool, and it needs to be done.
Yeah.
So they foresaw that. And they gave us those, and they didn't give us gun rights, by the way. And then neither did the Second Amendment give us gun rights. Them rights outline a pre-existing right, as Tom pointed out to me, dating back to the Magna Carta of 1215. Your first eight amendments come from those, from that right. The next two amendments secure that right. Yeah. So you can take the Second Amendment and go throw it in a fireplace all you want to, burn it up. It don't matter. You should still have a right to own the same doggone guns because the Magna Carta gave you that right, and the Second Amendment was only drafted off a pre-existing right. So when Hillary Clinton stands on stage and she's saying the Second Amendment does not give you the right to own guns, she's not teaching you the truth. Technically, she's right.
Yes, she's telling you the truth.
It outlines a pre-existing right. You still got that right, ladies and gentlemen. She's leaving that part out.
Yep. Woe unto you, lawyers! even her own, she got in hot water with for being a liar. But yeah, they do often tell you these little kernels of truth. I've heard that, you know, the Second Amendment doesn't give you that, and then you'll have the whole pro second. Yes, it does.
The NRA members and everybody else is all upset and everything else because their lack of understanding. Let's just put it nicely. The lack of understanding. She put a spin on the truth and didn't tell you all of it.
Yep.
You've got more rights to own guns than you really are allowed to have in this country. The Articles of Confederation gave you the right to own everything the military has. Imagine that. You won't show me where the sheriff was ever given a... Here's when I challenge you. You won't show me where the sheriff in the Constitution was ever given a right to own a gun, only the people. Imagine that. Not one law enforcement anywhere, not one judge was ever given a right to own a gun. The people was...
Only in their personal capacity.
That's
private
it.
Capacity, yeah. Which there's nothing. By the way, I there would be nothing wrong with that. Even them going to work carrying their personal protection arms, I would have no problem with that because that this isn't something that's reserved for a special class of a title, you know, given a some sort of noble title or something that can do something that other people can't have. A police officer has no more authority to carry a weapon than a citizen. No more authority at all. As a matter of fact, they're I would argue less constitutionally, but yeah, you know, that's my point. We have standing armies now. And people, the law and order crowd, and I believe in law and order, but my concept of law and order and enforcement are far different than most authoritarian mindsets.
Where's the word law come from, Tom? It comes from the Constitution that every one of those individuals that had that badge and gun took an oath to support.
Yes. Yep.
And at the same time, them acting like they're the only ones with gun rights and the rest of us, you know, why you have a gun and da-da-da-da-da. Actually... Yep. Is inconsistent with the oath they took to support that. Is inconsistent with the oath to support the Constitution.
Yeah.
So
well, somebody
you know,
called
these
us and said we were carrying something.
You know, so these people acting, you know, with these anti-gun people, you know, with law enforcement and their gun restrictions, if they understand the meaning of the word law, the Constitution, and you're right, the owner gun is outlined, and part of that, our Second Amendment, and your gun rights ain't just inherent in the Second Amendment, outlined in a pre-existing right. They're also inherent in the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, especially, which makes clear, power is not given to Congress or state, reserved collectively by the people. Oh, wow. Where was any form of government ever given jurisdiction over your guns, ever, in that Constitution? The only where they've ever assumed it is the 14th Amendment, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And that's the amendment that was not even properly adopted, folks. And the Treaty of Peace, where get rid of it like a stain on your window in Windex. We're here after this commercial.
It's a scam. Resurrect the Republic. Dirty Uncle Sam. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the face of the lips, hypocrisy. Middle pink house is for you and me. Welcome to the face. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, I'm floating down in Texas.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic. Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcasts. Flooding down in Texas. Well, we had some flooding here in Arizona, boy, I tell you. We got hit by a monsoon. So the past couple days has been a little bit rough, and getting back on has been a little bit rough, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for your patience. And whenever I tell you I'm coming to do a report, I usually will be there. And if I'm not there, something happened. These are the things that we deal with. Anyway, what Bruce Ray Riggs and I are getting into tonight is, of course, the unlawful jurisdiction created by the Reconstruction Replacement Government, the 14th Amendment. And I'd like to give a shout out right now to our other staff that's building. We are building a team at RTR Truth Media on RBN Rudy and Aaron Davis have joined myself and Lori Anderson. We have some other great volunteers. One person, I'll call her Mercy Otis Warren. She'll know who I'm talking about. She likes staying anonymous. Joe Kaiser. I know I'm going to leave somebody out here, but Laz and Sonaro, Shauna Cox. There's so many other people that have. John Lamb, Kelly Stewart. Many other people that have contributed over the course of this time. We're all happy to hear the Hammonds are out, and I'd like to give them all thanks for all of their hard work in pushing that. And, you know, we owe a little bit of thanks here to President Trump for doing that, too. So I really kind of appreciate it, although Bruce and I kind of lay out our issues with executive orders and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to the president's right to pardon somebody, he sure picked the right people to do it to. Couldn't be a better group of people for a better reason. So we have some more political prisoners we're going to be working on in the future. Anyway, back to the 14th Amendment. You guys can go to rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com, click on chat room. All of the links that we've been talking about is going to be shared there. So where did we leave off there, Bruce?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to end it with, when we sign this treaty of peace, we can do it over lunch. It's real simple. Let's make the corporation pay for the last thing they're going to pay for besides the immigrants and welfare, and they can just pay for our lunch while we sign the darn thing. Our states.
That sounds like a good plan. That sounds like a really good plan, bro.
It's a simple thing to fix, and I don't know why is our slavery, why are you a conspiracy theorist if you talk about our slavery? And what I mean by slavery, if you're a citizen of the United States, I don't mean to hurt your feelings or ruffle any feathers, but you are an economic slave, and that is a form of slavery. If you don't think you're an economic slave, well, I already explained how the word person was redefined to mean corporation, and it used to mean a debt slave in old Rome. Well, every citizen owes over $400,000+ on a national debt each. If you don't think you're a debt slave, then what is that? A treaty of peace is your freedom, ladies and gentlemen. You can end your slavery, end it all, with a simple treaty. You're governed by the consent of the governed. These congressmen and these senators that claim to represent you get on their butt. Make them sign this little piece of paper and let's end it.
It's such an easy solution. You know, we complain about the problem, but we never talk about the solution. Here's the solution.
You want to see a scenario where the pen is really mightier than the sword?
Sure.
We can have a civil war and just shoot everyone like we did 100-something years ago? Or the pen, 50 states could sign this treaty and it's done. No bullets, no uniforms and backpacks and tents and heavy rifles and smelly gear that you got to carry up and down hills and none of that. 50 ink pens. They could even just use one pen and share it. It's done. It's fixed.
Knowing Congress, those pens will be probably $3,000 a piece and everybody will get a set of five.
Rosie Riveter can fix lunch instead.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's done. This does not have to be hard. This does not have to be hard or bloody or criminal or anything. We've never preached any such thing.
Nope.
It can be lawful. Matter of fact, this treaty would be lawful. Every war Congress has ever declared, which is why they've never done a treaty of peace on this one, because Congress didn't declare the Civil War. So they never undeclared it. Every other war has had one, but this.
What a swindle.
I know.
We'll be back, folks. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast.
Let me tell you how it's gonna work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs, we're gonna redistribute when we make our pay tax. Hey, sit down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent! Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of
me. Welcome back. Welcome back. Tom Lacovara, Stewart, Bruce Ray Riggs, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast. We have a caller on the line. If you guys want to call in, 1-800-313-9443, you can do so. Jim in Missouri, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, Tom and Bruce, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
Doing just fine. Okay. Bruce, big fan. So is this Treaty of Peace written up already?
No, sir. It's 160 years past due.
Okay. So are you saying that we need an effort to write something up? And
yes, sir.
Start disseminating it?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Every Tea Party movement should be focused on this. It's real simple. And every complaint they have is a fruit of this jurisdiction. So actually, they'll be fixing their own cause by doing this. It's a simple treaty. All the states need to sign it, and it's done. It's just a signature is all it takes.
Okay, so where do we go from here? Because I think it's a great idea. Let's get it going.
I posted the General Orders 100 that gives this requirement from Yale Law University. And it's good to show the people that this is a requirement. It has never been satisfied. It needs to be satisfied in order to settle this jurisdiction. It actually says so. We have 50 states in this union. We all want our rights. And all these Tea Party coordinators, organizers, these conservatives, these pro-constitutional groups,
We need to educate them. We need to educate ourselves enough so we can educate them and get everyone on board. And all we got to do then is just contact our representatives. When they want a campaign, call their office. We want this done.
So perhaps we should draft this, Bruce, and start sending it out.
Do a draft or something.
That was exactly why I called, because you guys could do up a rough draft since you have all the documents and all the historical research. Put down a template and then send it out and let the people in the different states either accept it or modify it or whatever. And let's go to
it's
town.
Not a bad idea. That's a good idea. And I think, you know what? I think we're going to get on that. You mind helping me work on that, Bruce?
Yeah, Tom, all I got to do is look at a dozen of the other treaties of pieces they signed and just use them as rough drafts. They signed one for every other war but this one. They forgot. It's been 160 years. They need to remember. Hey, we forgot one war here, guys. We signed all the rest of them, but this one.
Well, I tell you, one of the reasons that I called is, I know you didn't, Tom. No offense, but you didn't sound like you really were very excited about Trump, and pardoning the Hammonds. But I'm telling you what.
Oh, no, I'm very excited
normal.
About
this is not, well, this is
hold
not
on,
normal.
Hold on. I'm very excited about Trump pardoning the Hammonds. I'm just, I've gotten to the point in my life where, I have a lot of friends who are hardcore pro-Trump. I'm not pro, I'm not anti, I'm not, my point is this. My argument is what Bruce and I are laying out right now is the problem. We could have Obama, we could have Trump, we could have any president that comes along, we're still going to have the same systemic problems unless we address what we're talking about tonight, was the point that I was trying to make with Trump.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, but here's the, I'm not a big Trumper. Yeah. The guy, I don't know if he's just totally so much over my head, I don't know. But,
well,
I will say, for him to pardon the Hammonds, he's a year and a half into his presidency.
Yes.
Presidents don't pardon people until they're on their way out. That's
right.
The MO.
Right. Well, that's because there's no political...
For him to do this...
Right.
Yeah. For him to do this right now, I think, is a really major.
I think it's a pretty big deal.
I do. I think it's a pretty big deal, and I think he knows more than what we think he knows, and I'm hoping on that.
Well, that's very, very well true. I just want to make it clear again so that I'm not misunderstood. My situation is there's only one person. I say this often. There's only one person that ever walked the earth that I worship. That's Jesus Christ. And I think for me to try and stay so that I can critically analyze the news and facts and things that come for me. If I want to believe in Trump, man, come on. I'm a conservative. I'm for the majority of the domestic policies that he stands for. I am, Sessions and the war on drugs and stuff like that. We can quibble about these things, but foreign policy decisions and firing on other nations and any more war is the kind of thing that I oppose. But I don't look at Trump is not the source of all of that. This has been going on for multiple decades. The system behind the scenes, the SES, I could go on, but I don't want to make people think, that I'm, look, I just kind of call things as I see them.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all, Tom. That's why I wanted to call in, because this idea of Bruce's, absolutely.
Yep.
Let's get started, because one thing is quite obvious. Trump is hearing differing views.
Oh,
otherwise,
hearing.
Otherwise, the Hammonds would not have been addressed.
Right.
So he's hearing. I think he's hearing us, and I think we have an opportunity.
Praise God.
Anyway, you guys have a good evening. Appreciate you.
You too.
I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, God bless you. Yeah. When I heard the news of the Hammonds being pardoned, I almost looked at it as, oh, here's more fake news. And I looked whitehouse.gov. And, I have to say, it was probably one of the happiest moments of my life in recent years, especially. It was just an absolute joy for that. So I don't want to detract or take anything from President Trump for doing that, because there was we're also, by the way, in the next couple of days, we're going to be responding to reports from mainstream media outlets of some people that weren't so excited about it. We're going to listen to what they had to say, and we're going to respond to that to show you how the disinformation continues, even after Malheur 17, not guilty, even after Bundy mistrial with prejudice, dismissed with prejudice, even after Trump pardons the Hammonds, even after the judge in that case declared that it would be a shock to the conscience for him to put him in jail for the mandatory minimum, and the law that was used probably misapplied. And none of these mainstream media outlets also, by the way, are telling you, they're telling you, oh, they got charged with arson. They got charged with the Effective Terrorism and Death Penalty Act. That's what they got charged with. They got charged as terrorists with a law that was never intended to be used in the way that it was used against the Hammonds. So I wanted to clarify that whole situation. The mainstream media is making it sound like, oh, he let a couple arsonists. That's not what it was about. But anyway, I digress. We're off. It's very happy that the Hammonds are home now. We have more work to do though. So I think it's a good idea that I think, of course, Jim does too, and I hope other people out there do. We can sit down and draft a treaty of peace. I think that from the ground up, it really would be a good way of waking people up to the fact that, we don't always need to seek a hard line or a militant stand. There are things that can be done. If they ignore these things, if they ignore, then we have our answer. Then we know what plan B, what we have to resort to. So, Schaefer Cox, good point that just came up in the chat room. Schaefer Cox had a plan. That's why they took him out. That's why we need to bind together into at least some semblance of a small group and stay in that group, and don't let these infiltrators come in there and set you up. As soon as you smell something funny, is probably something's going on. So Schaefer Cox, he had the Liberty Bell system initiated, where anybody that felt like they were being their rights were being violated, they could pick up the phone and call, and from one person to another, the word would spread and people would come. And that wasn't something that the federal government wanted to hear. And then when they heard that he had hundreds of people at his command in Fairbanks as a citizens militia, that was the next thing. But he was running for office, Bruce. He was running for the House. You met Schaefer Cox out there at the 09 Continental Congress.
I taught him about the 14th Amendment not being ratified. He knows all this.
Yep, yep. And just made his message even more powerful. when I spoke with Chris Ann Hall about this, I did speak to her about it. And, of course, I started off with the 14th Amendment. She said, why stop there? 14th, 15th, 16th? And she can quote you the same things right down the list as to what was unlawful about it. So how does this get pushed forward? Constant misinformation and lies coming from the source of government that we're supposed to trust. The Pew Research. Yeah, go ahead.
We should also, while we're working on our representatives on this Treaty of Peace, ladies and gentlemen, let's get the political parties on it too. The Republican Party claims to be pro-Constitution and all that. We got probably a listening audience has a good percentage of Republicans and libertarians and constitutionalists and a lot of other folks that would like to defend the Constitution. Well, good. Amen. Let's get these political groups involved in it also.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
They start small. Counties have little Republican and Democrat and Libertarian parties, and then they have districts, and then they have states. I mean, the parties are just like your representatives. Start small and work your way up.
I agree. I agree. I thought that that was going to be the way to do it all along, that the only really way to do it is to start small and work your way up. But, you know, we have a pretty good group coming together to help us network and get this message out. You know, we had done some pretty good work over the years, Bruce, and you know what they did to our channel there. We have I just was skimming through ResurrectTheRepublic.com. It looked like somebody took a shotgun to it with all the Swiss cheese from the video articles.
But half full, Tom. The glass being half full.
I know it.
We've got folks out there that have printed our documents. They've got them in the dresser drawer. They can destroy everything online we've ever done. And then folks out there, they've already printed it. They've got it. They hand it down to their youngins. They can't stop the seed. People know the truth. It's not everybody, but it's getting out there. You know, here's the beauty of population control, ladies and gentlemen. I'm kind of a math freak myself a little bit. You see, as population control kicks in more and more and more, and as the population isn't increasing like it used to, especially here in America, people that are asleep, let's say sheeple, versus people that are awake that actually possess knowledge of what's going on, the ratio is slowly changing. Because as population's not really increasing like it used to, but more and more people are waking up. So a percentage of the existing masses where the numbers is not really growing is becoming more and more awake.
That's a good way of looking
at it. It's like an axe. Every time an axe hits a tree, a little piece of wood comes off. Now today, when we conclude this broadcast, we might have knocked a little splinter or two off that old stock of wood. But we keep going and going and going.
I love the way you put it.
We're going to have some timber eventually. That thing is going to fall, y'all.
God, I love your positivity.
Trust me. If they wasn't worried, we wouldn't have all this interference and computer problems and internet and sabotage issues from beyond the internet, wherever the heck it happens, how they keep messing with our computers and stuff, Tom. We got to be doing something right. They're not going to waste their time on someone doing something wrong. They got handcuffs for them.
Right.
We got to be doing something right.
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing about the censorship that makes me laugh. I do laugh it off because, you know, if you weren't a force to be reckoned with, why bother, right? Why bother censoring stuff? But you know, I've seen now a lot of our content all over the place, and it's not just ours. I mean, there's other people like John Ainsworth, and oh God, I could Clint Richardson.
John Ainsworth, he's been on this for 20 years. That man's been waking folks up for many, many years. I know Mr. Ainsworth. He's a very good Christian man.
Yeah. Yeah, and William
like
Wagner,
Cox.
And
Mr. Cox is a very good Christian man. He's a man. He's a Messianic Jew, just like me. But he's a lot closer to that. I'm more rough around the edges. Let's just put it that way. He's more the way I should be.
Yeah. Well, you know, Schaefer is he's one of those ones that his message was so powerful that they just had to take him out. You know, we did a show the other day on Charles Dyer, Sergeant Charles Dyer. Same situation. He had such a presence and such power and such passion that he had to be taken out as well. And this is what, you know, for what's going on now. You hear Trump saying how politicized the FBI has become. It's not become politicized. It was created. And like all things that are created, they purport they're for one reason, but really they have a whole other purpose. And the FBI, we've seen the FBI, the IRS, and other agencies, BLM, target people because of their political beliefs, because they challenge the official line of the government, which is not the government's job to do, by the way, unless there's some sort of insurrection. It's the government's job to preserve and protect liberties of the people, period. That is why they were empowered by the people. So what drives me nuts is that we see one long, long train of abuses, one after another after another. Let's just look at the Bundy case with the prosecutors deliberately, willfully withholding exculpatory evidence, the BLM actually shredding, destroying evidence, and the prosecutors lying straight to the faces of the judge and the jury and getting caught at it, and then given another opportunity to try and appeal the case being thrown out and to try it again. The guy should be underneath a prison. Underneath it.
Well, Tom, two of the things that I posted this evening are both .gov links, so you can't call me no hearsay or conspiracy theorist. A 1943 and a 1947 Army-Navy Field Manual. And page 16 of the 43 and page 20 of the 1947, it makes clear that the United States Army, going all the way up to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is over the civil and criminal courts in the United States as well as the bar. And here's something you didn't know when you read into the book. I think it's on page 29. I'd have to look it up again. You know that there's judicial officer, military officers that review everything that a judge does when he's done with it to make sure he's doing his job correctly?
I wasn't aware of that.
Yes, that's in the book. I think it's in the 1943 one, page 29. They have judicial review, military as judicial review officers to oversee everything these civil and criminal judges do.
Wow.
Yeah. So therefore, when you say the 14th Amendment's fake, a judge probably knows that. But behind the scenes, he has judicial officers that would probably fry his butt if he actually acts on it.
Yeah.
Because once again, it's a puppet government.
Roy Moore got attacked for that, you know. That was one of the things that they used against Roy Moore, because Roy Moore was telling, just like Professor Thomas Woods was, he was telling truth about the 14th Amendment. Well, they tried turning that into, you want to bring back slavery, you're a racist, you want to deny, like, be a conspiracy theorist.
It's not a conspiracy theory. We've got a couple minutes here. Let me point out to this listening audience, the same as I have the others in the past. Okay, let's talk about the Civil War and slaves. Do you know House Resolution 80 was an amendment proposed by the northern state of Ohio just before the outbreak of the Civil War? It would have secured slavery as a state right. It passed House and Senate with northern vote only just prior to the Civil War, March 2nd, 1861.
Right.
Lincoln supported it 6 days later in his first inaugural address, saying it's put in front of a platform for him to sign, and he's going to sign it. Now,
are you talking about the Corwin Amendment?
Yes, House Resolution 80, the Corwin Amendment. Then, not only that, the Civil War breaks out. Three northern state legislators, after this thing passed with House, with northern vote only, House and Senate, now, one of the southern states who claimed to be seceded even bothered voting for it. Three northern states, Ohio, Illinois, and Delaware, ratify this evil amendment after the outbreak of the war. Then, after Lee surrendered us to Grant, the South no longer has slaves, April 9, 1865. But get this. Delaware, Kentucky, Maryland, and Missouri, two border states, and two northern states who are supposedly fighting for the emancipation of slaves, still have their slaves after they surrender to the Grant. For 7 months and 6 days later, till December 13th, 1865, and get this, had it not been for eight of the former 11 southern states voting to abolish slavery, ratification would have, F-A-I-L-E-D, failed. Georgia was the deciding state. It passed by one vote. Wow. So for somebody to say, by me talking about the 14th Amendment means I want to bring back slavery, shows that they are one ignorant son of a gun. They just do not know what they're talking about, and they're talking out their backside, because
The North had as much to do with slaves as the South did, and they had slaves for 7 months and 6 days after the South gave up their slaves. And Delaware was in such protest to give up their slaves, their state legislator waited 39 years to the year 1901 to ratify that amendment. And Delaware was one of the northern states that wore a blue uniform, supposedly fighting for the emancipation of slaves. So until people realize that they've had smoke blown up their backside about what they think the truth is, and this little hearsay history book your high school teacher gave you. I've got a website called proveitsreal.com. I've got links to the Library of Congress and Cornell Law University and quite a few other credible sources like yale.edu that says that hearsay history book they gave you in the classroom should have been taken into the men's and ladies' room. And when you ran out of the Charmin, you could have used that.
Yeah.
It's a lie. Now, right now I'm putting the Corwin Amendment, House Resolution 80. I went to the Library of Congress. I got that. I'm putting it right there in your chat room. I'm linking it. H.R. 80.
By the way, as you do that, I want to clarify to people. Folks, it's not proveitsreal.com. It's proveitsreal.dirtyunclesam.com. For some reason, proveitsreal.com wasn't working for me. But proveitsreal.dirtyunclesam.com. I'm going over to the chat room. I'm also going to drop that link into the chat room when, of course, my equipment cooperates with me. Only when I do the show, dude.
Oh, they keep the malware stuff kept attacking my site. Got me to have to pay a couple hundred dollars a month for malware security just so I can have my sites up and stuff. Oh, I know. Yeah. I just, for some reason, just don't want my information to get out there. I have no idea why, Tom.
Well, yeah, right? God forbid we should have some solutions.
Well, no, you see, the truth will set you free. And the problem is they just don't want that, I guess. I mean, we have $21 trillion of fake debt to pay off with these economic slaves we call citizens.
All fraud.
Of the United States. Yeah, and God forbid if we actually gave them their freedom, who's going to pay for the fraud?
Right.
Who's going to pay for the fake debt?
I got something I'd like to pay the Federal Reserve.
Play a Monopoly again.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This thing screwed up on me, but it's up now. House Resolution 80, ladies and gentlemen, should just be posted.
No, yep, it's there.
No reason it didn't do that. No, it posted the Kentucky-Virginia Resolution again. God dang this. I don't know why my computer is acting up. Copy. All right. You can delete that one. Delete it, Tom. H.R. 80. I don't know what the heck. Every once in a while,
well,
my computer,
we're going to get that, folks. We're going to get that in the chat room, but we have run out of time. Time flies when we're on the line with Bruce Ray Riggs. Bruce, thanks for joining us tonight. He'll be coming back more in the future. We're going to stay on this, and we will be working on drafting the Treaty of Peace. You can go to rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com. Click on that PayPal. Send us some love. We appreciate you. God bless you. Everybody out there, resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.